Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rob, there were reports before the game today that you made it clear to the Patriots in the offseason you wanted to play with the Patriots. Can you comment on that? And also, is that sort of the same as your thoughts after the Super Bowl when you said you were uncertain about your future? How does all that come together?
I was wondering why they asked me that on the field right after the game. I was like, "What? Where is this coming from again?" I'm glad to be here, glad to be part of this team, glad to be part of this organization. And all that talk, all that stuff, I mean, I would love to put it in the past, whatever it is, whatever reports keep coming out, because I'm here. I'm here to stay, and I'm here to keep playing ball with the Patriots and just enjoying my time here.
Thank you.
Zolak and Bertrand, that is, with Bert Freer. Bill Belichick is going to speak at about 11:30.
Yep, bingo.
That's a scheduled time to talk this morning. We'll hear from him live. Kyle Van Noy, Patriots linebacker, mentioned him last segment. He's going to call us between now and then. So
he's excited to.
I'm hoping we'll be talking to Kyle Van Noy in about 15 minutes at 11:20. That's the goal here. But, you know, things can always change. Bert, let's pick up with Rob Gronkowski. Yep. We were just talking about a minute ago. Rap Sheet had that report on Sunday morning. It followed up other similar reports in the offseason about Rob Gronkowski and the fact that the team at some point was not happy with him to the point where they tried to trade him. And you just said there was trade interest, but it wasn't exactly right. A lot of trade interest because teams couldn't match the level of play that Tom Brady gives Rob Gronkowski. Here's my question to you. Does Rob Gronkowski know that? Is that why Rob Gronkowski, when he was told he might get traded, said, well, I'm just going to retire if I get traded?
It's possible. I mean, how often do we just see him running free through the secondary? I mean, that back shoulder throw that that Brady made to him, the throw down the middle,
every catch he makes there's a 50% chance it's going to be a highlight reel catch.
Right. I mean, like, most of his catches are in traffic. The point that was made to me was that not everybody has a quarterback who can put it into those spots. And so
he could get laid out.
It doesn't mean it's just having Tom Brady, unlocks the full extent of who Rob Gronkowski can be. It's not to say he wouldn't be a good player somewhere else. But he might not be this sort of difference maker if he had a quarterback who wasn't as accurate.
And he may be frustrated playing elsewhere.
Right.
Where he knows that the ball's going to be in a chance to put me in a spot where I'm not really going to kill myself. Now, Brady has taken him up the seam, you know, and he's taken some hits. But some of these things are unavoidable. But for the most part, to what you said, he's not really running scot-free down the middle of the field.
Right. I mean, that catch that he made, he had two guys all over him. The catch down the middle, which was incredible. And so many of his catches are that way now. It's just, I mean, I think probably to some degree, Beadle, there's an acknowledgement. There's like a self-awareness there, you know, this is who I am. And maybe there's part of it for him where it's like balancing, okay, I can maybe go make more money here, or I can stay in New England, try to get what I can now and press the team to give me more money now.
Right.
And be the full extent of who I can be as a football player in Foxborough.
Do you think that everything is good now, given everything that's been reported about Guerrero? We've talked about it with you in the last couple of weeks. It seems like for the time being, those two guys, Brady and Gronkowski, are all in a good place. Everybody's happy at the moment.
The fact that Guerrero was on the team playing, and I know some people have downplayed this, I think was huge. Like the fact that he shows up, that tells me there has been a compromise. Like you wouldn't see that, and you wouldn't see the team putting the team wasn't hiding him either.
I saw him get off the bus and almost tripped and fell.
We were doing the pregame show.
Yeah.
And it's not like you know, you have the shots of all the guys getting off the bus, and this is one of the preseason games. I think it was the Giant game, and you see they could have very easily hit him in a pack of seven people. No. Like he was getting off the bus by himself, almost like they were parading him out there. Hey, look, look, there's Alex Guerrero, without telling everybody, giving the cameras a clean shot of him coming off the bus. It's almost like they're saying without saying, this is taken care of now. And then you see the Tom versus Time documentary come out after that. I think doing the contract adjustments forced them to confront the situation with both players. Like, that forces the team, like, because that forces you to sit down and say, here's the terms on which we're going to go forward. And you talk about the financial end of it, but I think you also, when you're in that sort of situation, you're sort of forced to talk about everything.
Yeah, and I think it also helps Rob, you know, to the point of how good he looked and how limber. He doesn't look like he did last year. Last year he talked, what was that, three games in? Well, some days you just feel good, some days you don't. I just don't feel like I have everything yet. Mm-hmm. He has everything, game one.
Right.
Yeah. That's huge. And, you know, they know they need him without Edelman.
He looked awesome in the Super Bowl. Like, remember, like, the one catch he makes where he's just like, it was like almost like go-go gadget.
Well, you know what it was? What I mean? It was from Pittsburgh on last year.
Yeah.
He killed Pittsburgh in that second half. And it was go time. Like, when back stacked against the wall, Brady went to him.
Yeah.
Super Bowl, back stacked against the wall, go to Gronkowski. Third and seven, down and tight. We have a false start. Now it's third and 12. Double coverage. I'm sticking at the Gronk.
You know, there's only one guy. The other thing I noticed, too, Beto, while we're still on that.
Yep.
You notice the T-shirt Brady's wearing?
The pliability shirt.
On Friday, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I wonder if that's sort of like a...
It's not the first time he's worn it.
Don't give me crap. Don't give me like it's okay.
It's in your face.
But if the compromise had already been made, it's like, do you have to celebrate it?
No, but if the compromise has been made, maybe that's part of the compromise, though. Maybe part of the compromise is like, look, I'm just going to do little things to promote my product. All right? I've taken crap here twice for a long time.
I guess, but this is what I was about to say relates to what you just said. There's only one guy in all this that we don't know how he feels, because we know how Gronkowski feels. We know how Brady feels about that compromise. They like it. They get their guy.
Yep.
They get to work with the guy that they enjoy being around, all that stuff. How does the coach feel about it? I don't know if we're ever going to get, the true, we're never going to get it on the record.
You know, it's interesting.
Will we ever know the true feelings
I was listening,
of how this played out? And if he doesn't feel great about it and he doesn't enjoy this compromise, what kind of lasting impact is there as a result of
this? It was interesting. I was watching, I saw Mike Vrabel's post-game press conference.
How'd that go?
After that long game in Miami, right?
Team looks overrated.
And they were talking about like the penalties and all of that. And so he said that he used that line that I think totally applies to this, which is, do business is being done. And I think that applies for Bill to this situation with Gronk and Brady, where it's like, you know, I could really be tough about this, or I could figure out a way where I'm going to make these two guys happy and I'm still going to be able to, because I think the priority for him, for Bill, is making sure that his strength staff isn't compromised, is making sure that like those that Moses Cabrera and those guys can do their job and there's no friction between, you know, the Guerrero guys and the strength staff. And so my guess is that Bill probably found a way to get there. And if he can get there, he's probably okay with it. Because I don't think the problem here was ever Brady and Gronkowski and Edelman going up there, walking up those stairs to TB12. I think the problem for Bill became the recruitment of other players and other players and bigger groups going up there and hearing that maybe some of the things that they were being taught down the stairs weren't exactly correct.
To go back to the offense, Gronkowski looked great Sunday. Brady looked good. Mm-hmm. And Philip Dorsett had himself a very nice game. There's now been the signing of Corey Coleman yesterday. Patriots brought him in. You're already laughing, as you should be. The shoe guy is here.
Hard Knocks, right?
Yeah, I mean, we played it 100 times yesterday to deal with the guy who's obsessed with his shoes and, you know, has been let go by the Browns and the Bills now.
And was very upset about the release of the Browns depth chart.
That guy. Des
he was
Bryant.
Lying on the ground. If you guys want, like, I don't know if you guys saw this, caught this on
what?
Hard Knocks.
What?
Remember when Jarvis Landry gave that, like, fire and brimstone speech?
Yeah. Yes.
Someone told me, I haven't gone back and looked at it, somebody told me during that speech, Corey Coleman was lying flat on the ground in the receiver room.
I'm going to go back and watch. I'm going to go back and watch.
Because there was the one guy who was sitting in there crushing muscles, right? Like,
oh, that muscles? Yeah.
Yeah, there was a guy. One of the receivers in there sitting like Jarvis Landry's just losing his crap, you know? And then there's like one of the
muscles over Linguini over here. Going, what?
Shoveling muscles into his mouth.
Yeah, I haven't practiced in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and then I think and then someone said to me, we'll check it out.
We'll go check it out.
But the Corey Coleman was lying flat on his back in the receiver.
Is Des Bryant still in play for the Patriots? Yes or no?
I would have said no 2 weeks ago. I would have said no 3 weeks ago. At this point, they're telling us they're desperate at that position. At this
all right,
point, they're telling us, so I'm not going to rule it out. I still think he's a bad fit.
Why?
Because, I mean, for the same reason Corey Coleman's a bad fit. Because
this kid can play.
Except Corey Coleman stinks.
Corey Coleman can't run routes, and he's not adept at picking up NFL offense.
Tedez's
Those
tweet.
Are the two things that they always Wait. Tell us you need to do. You need to be able to pick up the offense and run routes, right?
Tedez's tweet. Well, if you line me up next to Hogan, Edelman, Gronkowski, White, shoot, I'm going to get one-on-one, and that's all I know.
The one thing Dez can still do is catch the ball in traffic.
Yeah.
Okay. Like,
thank you.
That's a skill.
That's all you need.
That's a skill. That's a valuable skill. Bert Breer is with us from the MMQB. Coming up next, we expect to be talking with Patriots linebacker Kyle Van Noy. Stay tuned.
Miss something?
So what happens now?
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Kyle Van Noy will be checking in any moment now, so we can go to your phones. In the meantime, let's go to Ricky in Plymouth. Ricky!
Hey,
Ricky!
How you guys doing today?
Getting ready for the wedding or what there, Ricky?
Yeah, it's 3 days away.
It's this weekend. Saturday. What's going on?
A big wedding, though. Remember you're supposed to be just a piece?
Oh, that's right!
Yes, I remember. That's why
yes,
I asked.
Sir. This weekend. I just want to comment on... I'm glad that we actually have a line that we can count on with the offense. I feel like...
Yeah, Trent Brown was really good in this game. Down, yep.
Yeah, Clowney got... He wasn't existent at all, punching the ground.
Right.
Obviously frustrated. I think Watt got him once when the pocket collapsed, but other than that, I think we have signs of life, even with not having the strongest weapons around.
I'll tell you what, Ricky. Like,
good luck with your marriage, Ricky.
Good luck this weekend, and I want to go back to what Bert said right out of the gate here this hour, which is the play along the line of scrimmage for the Patriots on both sides was a big deal on Sunday. I feel like we've given Trent Brown his due. We've given him a lot of credit in the last few days. But for all the talk of, the Patriots defensive line and their front seven, they went up against a bad offensive line with Houston. Well, on the other side of the ball for the Patriots, you know that the Patriots offensive line did not go against some weak unit
right.
that they were playing against on Sunday.
Clowney,
which means if you want to put some stock Ritter. In something Ritter. That you yep. saw on Sunday, the thing you might want to put the most stock in is how the Patriots offensive line handled things on Sunday.
Right, and we've been so focused on the receivers, which... Again, I said to you during the break, it's like they're having fantasy camp out there, like this tryout. Like, and they're one of the only, they're like probably one of the only two or three teams in the league.
Pay your $2,000 and get a shot.
Yeah. Zoe's got good size. Maybe Zoe can get his shot out there at fantasy camp.
If you saw the Patriots post-game video that they had on Patriots.com from the locker room celebration, the guys that they showed were Trent Brown, Tooney, Andrews getting hugs by Kraft, Scarnecchia, Brady. It's all offensive line. And he's saying happy birthday to Slater, but yeah, they had themselves a day. They did.
Yeah, and I mean, we're so focused on that receiver spot. I think what you ignore when you focus too much on it is that there are different ways to do it. And Hollister wasn't out there, but eventually I think he'll be part of the equation when they go two tight ends. Obviously, I think you're going to get more out of James White as a receiver. You know, you get used to seeing the three receivers out there, and they've played more of that over the last couple of years than they had in the past. Like, they don't need to be putting three and four receivers on the field all the time because they've got a little bit more depth at running back, and that's hurt, by Hill getting hurt, but they've got some of that at running back, and they've got some of that at tight end.
Bert, I'm not sure if you heard earlier, but Dennis Eckersley said last night on the Red Sox broadcast that once in high school they poured gasoline all over the field and lit it on fire to dry out the field.
It sounds like a good plan, huh?
Not really. We've gotten a couple of calls. I've gotten emails on it as well.
Dry off the field?
Yeah, let's go to Eastie in Weymouth. Eastie.
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
What's up?
I'm fired up, not pun intended.
Sound fired up.
But my father used to coach high school, and you can't do it on the dead grass because then that'll burn, obviously.
Well, yeah.
But on the green grass, on the infield grass, as long as it's green, the green grass won't burn. So they used to do it. I mean, this was back in the 80s, you know, early 90s. But
What if you put Agent
really
Orange
was.
On
it? It's a different generation. No, it really was, though. You know things have changed since then.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was like a poor man's speedy dry kind of, you know?
I think it would cost more to, speedy dry is like that stuff they throw down.
On puke.
The pink stuff?
No, but that.
Is that what they throw over?
No, it's the powder stuff they throw over.
Yes.
Like when there's a rain delay and you see the guys at Fenway come out with those giant bags, that's the dry that they throw in.
It's a mix of sand, sawdust.
Is a poor man's speedy dry.
Thank you.
This is gasoline
that
and fire.
It's not cheap. Yep. Gasoline, by the way, is not cheap. It's like $2.69 a gallon.
What's that saying?
You cover a baseball field with gas, not going to be cheap.
No, that feels like an emperor's speedy dry. That's a rich man's speedy dry. You're going to dump diesel fuel all over the field.
Ryan's lighter fluid's cheap, though, right? Like, you get some lighter fluid and dump it everywhere.
I bet it's the same price per gallon.
Because it comes in a 2 ounce can. Yeah, it's cheap in that regard.
In fact, when you think about it,
it's a gallon of gas.
That 2 ounce can is about $3.
Right.
So that's going to that's not cheap at all.
No.
Ryan's in Malden. Ryan, have you done this?
Yeah, first of all, speedy dry is the stuff you put down when like you have oil on the ground. That's what,
in your garage.
It up.
And a grease bottle.
Like the cat litter stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Cat litter works too. But you also, the heater thing is called the Hawk heater, and it's got a propane tank, and it's got a nozzle that you spray, and we use it in paving when you're trying to, mesh the two, an old pavement to new pavement.
Okay.
To make it, mesh together.
Where can I buy one of those?
It does that. So.
Where can I buy one of those?
Hawk heater?
Yeah, no, like it's a regular propane tank.
I get a propane tank.
And it has a hose on it with a nozzle that's about 2.5 feet long.
Oh.
And you just, you wave it around. Like I said, when paving, we do it at the edges to mesh the old pavement with the new pavement.
Yeah, we got...
I was down at Cape this summer, and someone has one of those like cobblestone driveways, but you know how you get the weeds kind of pop up in between?
Oh, the weed burners.
There's some old guy out there.
Yes,
in a white beater tank top, and he's got this hat on, and he's carrying his propane tank, and this thing...
Have you seen that, Hardy? They sell them in the store. It's you can put a small like camping propane canister on it. And it's like
There's no small.
You
walk around like a leaf blower,
and it's got a torch on the end. You burn the weeds and the cracks on your walkways.
Vaporize them.
I like that.
I like it a lot. I might need to get one of those.
Well, I was thinking that sounds more like that sounds like an equipment rental item.
Yeah, they do it for doors.
You use it once. I've seen it in the hardware store. They're like $40 or $50.
They'll burn pine that way too on the edge of the board.
Yeah, they're not that expensive.
Wow,
you do that on a board. It takes care,
like
it up.
That sounds like way easier than having to like bend over and pull out.
Plus, you get to play with fire. You got that pyro streak in you. It's all good.
Yeah, no question.
Get to play with a flamethrower.
You start burning other stuff. I'm like, I get bored there. So let's go try and see if we can burn the fence.
No Kyle Van Noy at this point. What's our plan now, Jim?
Yeah, break for Bill.
We were planning on him calling, and we want to get to Bill Belichick when he steps to the podium. So what do you want me to do? You tell me, bud. You're in charge.
Let's go to headlines.
Okay, we're going to go to headlines with Hardy. When we come back, we will definitely hear from Bill Belichick. And hopefully we catch up with Kyle Van Noy at some point this hour. Stay tuned.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox are into the postseason. First team in the majors to clinch their spot after they got the 7-2 win over the Blue Jays last night. Chris Sale was supposed to be out there for a couple innings last night, but he only pitched one, Alex Cora. Why is that?
Yeah, I thought it was a high leverage. He had to pitch from the get-go. He hasn't pitched in a while, so it made no sense for me. I was the one to make up the call. It made no sense for me to send him out there for 10 pitches, 12 pitches, whatever it was. So we're taking care of the guy. His mechanics weren't there, the speed of the game. This is the big leagues, and he hasn't pitched in a while.
All right. Tonight it'll be David Price to the mound. He's 14-6 on the year. Opposite Aaron Sanchez, 4-5 record. It's the middle of the three-game set. Patriots getting ready for their visit to Jacksonville on Sunday. Josh Allen is going to get the start for the Bills on Sunday against the Chargers. Yes, he went in the third quarter of that game that they lost 47-3 to the Ravens. He's good. 6 of 15 for 74 yards. He only got sacked 3 times. Headlines are brought to you by Doctors Robert Leonard and Matthew Lapresti, the hair doctors of West Welker at 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
To the podium in
Foxborough we go. Patriots head coach Bill Belichick speaking ahead of Sunday's game against Jacksonville.
Yeah, those guys are have made big plays for him, and they're very dangerous players if they get any space. Good offensive line, big physical group. Defensively, I think that's all the numbers kind of speak for themselves. They pretty much led the league in every category last year, and they're all back, and they're all good, and they got a lot of depth. Another return for a touchdown last week against the Giants, so it's a very disruptive group up front. We've got to do a good job taking care of the ball and trying to create some positive plays. So strong in the kicking game. They cover well. They're well coached. Mickens does a good job in the return game. They're very aggressive there too. So this team's very, very good, very talented, and if you're playing them at home, on their home opener, this will be, you know, a lot of energy in the stadium, and we'll need a good, it's a big test for us. So, see where we're at.
How much change, if at all, have you seen from them, personnel, scheme, whatever the case may be, since the end of the year last year?
Yeah, well, we only played one game, so. A couple new receivers, a couple new players on offense. Most of the defense is back. Hayden replaced Colvin. Not a lot. There's not a lot to see. It's only been five games, four in my preseason, so.
Bill, when you signed Corcoran yesterday, what did you see from him in his first couple of years?
Yeah, we had three players to the roster. We had three roster spots, so we filled all of them. See how it goes with all three guys.
Bill, all offseason, the Jaguars seem to be talking a lot about the AFC Championship game. Then Jalen Ramsey, of course, came out, had some words about Gronk and some other players. Do you have to talk to your guys about not getting into a war of words with the Jaguars or how to deal with some of that back and forth?
Yeah, Ben. Well, that's look, we know when the game starts, and we'll be ready to go. I'm sure they will too, and that's when we'll see what happens. So right now we're focused on our preparation for the game. We have a lot of respect for Coach Brown, their coaching staff, and their players, their team, and hopefully we'll be ready to go.
Ramsey and Boye play sides, or do they move?
Most of the time, Ramsey follows the other team's number one receiver, but not always.
Are they pretty straightforward, Bill, in terms of they do defensively, taking last year into account, too? I mean, is there much deception when it comes to that side of ball
program? They do the things that they do. Like I said, they led the league in almost every category last year, so I would imagine they'd be looking to make a lot of dramatic changes. But they keep you off balance. They can, if they have a problem with something, they have a way to fix it. They have a compliment or an answer to it. So they do enough to cause you a lot of problems, and nobody's really done much against them.
The other end is obviously the unique individual off the field, but on the field, depending on the backup players, what have you seen from them as a cornerback since coming into the NFL?
Yeah, he's done a good job. He's on a good defense. They have a lot of good players. He's one of them. They got a lot of them.
How are you prepared for Calais Campbell and him on the edge?
How do we prepare for him?
Yeah, in terms of like what he does, what he brings, the pressure.
He's another good player on a good defense. And they got a lot of them. Six guys in the Pro Bowl on one side of the ball. And a lot of the guys pretty good too, so. When we get matched up against these players, we'll have our matchups, and we'll see how it goes.
Bill, you signed three guys yesterday. From a coaching perspective, what are some of the challenges of bringing a guy on, you know, at the start of the season or while the season's, you know, already happening versus a guy that already, you know, was with you guys through the offseason, through training camp?
Yeah, well, it's definitely a game of catch-up. So when players come in at the beginning, they're able to get a progression of installation and learn from the bottom up, build a foundation and work their way up. Now it's more of a game plan situation, so we don't have all of our plays in for this game. We would never do that, but the ones that we're running this week, those are the ones we'll focus on, and we'll try to catch up on some of the other. I'm going to try to catch up as much as we can, but we have to prioritize what's going in for this game, what we need for this game. So we'll start with that first. It's a little bit of a backwards way of doing it, but it's the best way to prepare for a short window and try to catch up on all the other things as much as we can. The terminology, all the fundamental things, things that we're not going to be doing this week that are important, but we won't get to all those this week, but we'll try to catch up on those as soon as we can. But that's a challenge.
So when you're evaluating them, are you looking at them situational, like from a situational basis, or do you kind of give, a new guy a little bit of a learning curve when they're joining all the
season? Yeah, well, it's a big curve. I mean, we wouldn't expect them to be able to do what players who have been here for, let's call it 6 months, going back to April. There's no way they're going to be able to catch up to that. So we evaluate them, what we give them, and it's not the first time this has ever happened, so we have an idea of what's a reasonable expectation. Everybody learns differently. Everybody adjusts differently. Some players have been in similar systems. Some players have a lot more to adapt to, but we'll do the best we can to evaluate it and see how it goes.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick at the podium right now speaking in Foxborough. We cut into a break when he stepped up, so we're going to wrap that up quickly, just a couple of minutes here, and we are right back. We're waiting on Patriots linebacker Kyle Van Noy. He was in a meeting. As soon as he gets out of that meeting, he'll be calling us here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Can they be replaced by robots?
Robots?
Doubtful.
I think it's silly. Zolak and Bertrand, 95.
Belichick still talking away down there in Foxborough. If there's anything of importance, we will certainly bring it to you.
Yep. I will keep you updated, too, on the passing of Fred's cat. Let me get the timeline on that.
Did the cat die?
It didn't come back. It must have. Maybe it was like, what was that movie, Moonstruck, when Johnny, do you want over to see? My mother did. She's not dead, Johnny.
It was a miracle.
It's a miracle. I can't marry you, Loretta.
I guess we'll find out tomorrow if the cat died. Tomorrow's probably the wake, or is that Friday, do you think?
Shiva, 7 days.
Oh, that's right. Is it a Jewish cat?
Oh, yeah.
It's a Jewish cat.
Yes.
Half Jewish.
Yep.
Only the good half.
Was the cat raised Jewish then? Not real sure. I never thought the cat was really popular with Fred.
No, it's dead Jewish cat, though. Yeah. Quick burial.
Well, if they're sitting here, Shiva, then you guys got to like...
We got to go talk about
that. Yeah, roll by.
We got to go.
Pay your respects.
At least we eat.
Of course we do.
At least we get to eat.
Of course we do. I fully plan on doing it.
Get some good stuff to eat down here.
Do you want the latest on Dez Bryant?
Yeah.
I think you do.
I'd love to.
I think you do. This is what is going on in Dallas. Dez Bryant and Cowboys owner Jerry Jones... We're at the Beyonce Jay-Z concert Tuesday at AT&T Stadium. Last night, they're sitting together in a luxury box at the stadium. This picture was sent out from Cowboys insider Mike Fisher of 24/7 Sports and 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
Which I believe is the flagship down there.
It is. Yeah. And then another person from from that station, Gavin Dawson, retweeted the picture and added this. Dez and Jerry were hanging out, but a source tells me that Dez was letting other people at the concert know he's probably going to New England.
Come on, baby. That's interesting that Dez would say that.
That means
he does have Dez narrowed down to two teams.
Dez is telling people in private that he's going to New England. Probably going to New England.
He still has to come.
The question is, though, is that what he wants? Or is that what he thinks is going to happen?
Because no, no, no. I would rephrase that. That is what he wants. The question is,
if Bill
will they allow it to happen for
him? And what's the number? I think that's the thing that's holding it up.
Okay, but you know, your number.
Well, the issue with him was he wanted to, like, so he turned down what Crabtree got in Baltimore, which I believe is 21 over 3, 7 per.
Right.
And the reason why is he said, I want a 1-year deal.
Crabtree.
So I can
deal.
So I can hit the market again.
So then you need to take less of that.
So to go back to our earlier discussion about Rob Gronkowski and the value that he has to other teams versus the Patriots, his value is greater to the Patriots because the quarterback can fit it into tight windows and he's not a guy who gets a ton of separation, but he's a guy who fights for the football and the quarterback puts that ball where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. What better player to match Dez Bryant with than Tom Brady? And Dez has to know this, and Dez even tweeted about, I'll get one-on-one matchups, and I'll get that damn football. That's what he was talking about on Twitter Sunday night. He knows that if he plays with Brady, he's going to have a chance to look really good.
He's not stupid, too. He knows in Witten's last year, when you break the huddle, okay, so Dak's there. You got Witten and Dez. Dez still set coverage. Okay, so the number one guy is going with Dez. Witten didn't have the same type of step or breakaway ability that he had from 4 years ago. Now he's up in the booth. Dez knows that he gets in a huddle. This huddle breaks. And when Edelman's back, because he keeps referring to when Edelman is back.
Yep.
When you have Gronkowski, Edelman, White, even threw Hogan in there, is he going to draw the number one? No.
Let's go to the phones. Yay or nay there?
Boom.
Okay, we're good. Let's welcome in Patriots linebacker Kyle Van Noy. Kyle Van Noy brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. All right, so they tell us you were in a meeting a couple minutes ago. So the rule on this show is if you're going to be a couple minutes behind, you got to tell us what was going on in the meeting now. So what was it? What did you guys talk about?
I'm just trying to brighten your day on a hump day, you know what I mean?
I hear you. Hey, you've been around the league for a while now. Have you noticed a rookie like Bentley that doesn't seem like he needs to get his hand held on every play?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have somebody like him with you, it's a blessing. He's a hard worker. He knows what he's doing, and he plays hard. And, you know, we love having him and what he brings to the table, and we're excited to see him keep growing.
Could you see it right away with him?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think he's an older guy for coming out. I think he's he did 5 years in college, so he had that maturity right away, and you could tell he has a why and he plays like it.
Kyle, it appears that the defense is in a better spot this year to start the season than where it was a year ago to start the season.
You think?
There's been okay, so you're sort of answering my question.
Be good.
How good do you feel about the growth as a group and continuing to improve?
Nah, you know, I was just messing, but anytime you're not putting 42 points up the first game helps. as a group, you know, our biggest thing is we're just trying to win games and have fun, and you could tell that. You know, guys are flying around. They know what they're doing. They're playing fast. And more importantly, we're playing a kids game, and we're having fun doing it. And it shows on film, and it shows in our play. And that's what we're trying to do this year.
All right, Kyle Van Noy with us here. And Kyle, did you know going into that game, or did you guys at least assume for a unit that, you know what, Deshaun Watson may not be 100%, and the run and his ability to really attack the edge may not be there? Or were you guys just that concerned with keeping him intact and keeping him in that pocket?
You know, I think we have a group of guys that get slept on a lot. And, you know, we took on the challenge to stop him and stop his strength. And I feel like we did a good job. He got out a couple of times. But more importantly, you know, forget Deshaun Watson. We're focused on Blake Bortles now.
So you know where he's going to be in the pocket at least, right? Straight five-step.
Yeah, he likes to run, though.
He does.
He's more athletic than people think. They don't give him that much credit. You know, he does a good job. He had a long run in the Giants game, a couple scrambles. So, you know, we're going to try to do the same thing to him, keep him in the pocket, just play ball.
So Matt Patricia's a big voice, you know, on game day for 7-8 years there. And this is the first chance you guys get to see Brian Flores in that role. Obviously, he's your position coach, so you've known him pretty well for a while. But I'm sure there was some unknown going into the first game. like, what stuck out about the way that he operated as being, you know, kind of a bigger voice in the defense?
Ooh, that's a good question. I had to think about that one for a sec. You know, I think it's just he's able to communicate within everybody on the defense. He has a relationship, so he's able to get after guys when needed, and he compliments them when needed. So I think he does a really good job. He brings a different element to the table, and you know, we enjoy it, we embrace it, and we just want to play hard for him.
We heard some guys talk about him maybe simplifying things and being a little bit more aggressive so you guys could play fast. Did you see that in the first game?
I mean, that's a question I should be asking you. Did you see it?
It looked like you guys played pretty fast.
Yeah, aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, then there we go. When we played aggressive, I think we want to do that every week, no matter who's, you know, at the helm. We want to play aggressive. I mean, that's what we do as football players. You know, the physicality, we want to bring it.
And even a guy on the outside like Stephon Gilmore seems like, you know, when you have the man call on and he's waiting in the huddle to see which way.
Oh, he's locked down.
Yeah. So it seems like that's his forte. Yeah, and he had a hell of a day.
He got paid a hell of money, so he might as well do something with it, right, by locking people up.
Does he take care of any of the guys, like with anything? Does he pay for
it? Selfish.
He is.
Not even a dinner every now and again? Nothing?
Nah, he does a good job. He does. When we go out to dinner with groups and whatnot, we all, you know, we like to play credit card roulette, and I think all of us have lost at one time or another, so I think we've all taken care of each other.
But Gilmore's got to put in two different cards. He's got to put in extra.
he's got to put in three.
That'd be a good rule. You should enforce that one.
Like, yeah, you should. Everyone should put in a certain number of credit cards for the.
Yeah,
roulette.
I agree. I agree with that.
Hey, last one for you. Were you shocked Sunday that there was not one helmet call, like leading with the helmet for intent?
Was I shocked?
Yeah, that they didn't call it. Like, they ate the flags. No, it seemed like they were calling it all preseason.
No, I mean, you always want to, it was like in the preseason, you want to be able, you know, you want to call it and then go back and look at it and adjust. And, you know, the game, we want the game to be safe as players, and everybody wants the game to be safe. But at the same time, you know, there's always going to be bang, bang plays where they could go either way. And as players, it's tough, but. Got to adjust it to the rules and got to keep going.
Was there an adjustment you had to make to fit this rule, or is it pretty much business as usual for you personally?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I feel like it's business as usual. You know, I've always been one to, you know, be go how the rules are, tackle with my head up. So I think we've done a good job here in New England, as always. Teaching guys that, and the coaches really, really teach that. So it wasn't really an adjustment. It's just kind of now when the ball's in the air, you know, type of deal, not hitting the guy's head, basically leading with the shoulder type of deal.
Patriots linebacker.
I watched the John Lynch highlight tape. He would have got flagged on every play.
Oh, there was one that was floating around there on social media where it looked like he murdered the guy.
Yeah, I'm like, oh man, he was crushing people. But oh well.
All right, Kyle Van Noy, Patriots linebacker. Kyle, appreciate it. Don't be a stranger. Hopefully, we'll talk again.
Yeah.
Soon. All right, appreciate it, Kyle. Okay. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Kyle.
Kyle Van Noy. Wow, that's the best Patriots player we've ever had.
He was chipper. That was good.
He gets it. He gets it.
Really good.
Saw him the other night.
Does.
I said, just give us a little something. He goes, oh, okay. I said, like you did in camp. I said, we had you on once in camp. I said, same thing. Don't Volmer us.
He didn't reveal any state secrets or anything.
Just had some personality.
Yes, he actually asked us questions. I like when they ask us questions.
That was like what flipped it around. That was like what Rodney was like. Like that was a sort of like what Rodney Harrison was like as a player. Is that he would show you.
Yes.
He wouldn't give you a lot, but he would show you a lot of personality. He'd have some snappy lines. It's not that hard.
No.
Right now, caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985 will score a $50 Dairy Queen gift card. DQ, fan food, not fast food. It's caller 10 on the contest line only, 617-931-0985. We have Burke Breer with us. We have a lot more to get to, including Matt Patricia's first week as an NFL head coach in the regular season with the Lions and other week one observations. That on the way.